So the next thing I'll do just for belt and suspenders is we'll count off. I'll start at one, then Ron, then Paul, and then we'll go around a second time, give it between like a half and a full second before you say the number, and then we'll put it together. All right. One.
Two.
Three.
Four.
Five.
Six.
Perfect. I mean, Ron waits like 2.5 seconds because he's on swamp time,
It might be my connections delayed. I don't know.
but I'm used to
All
it and we adjust.
right.
And I always cut out the amount of time that it takes
Right.
when Ron starts laughing, or
Thank
else
you.
it just sounds like he didn't really get the joke.
I
See what I mean? So,
appreciate that. That is why you're the
yeah, no.
QB of the podcast. Yeah.
So I don't know if you've listened to the podcast before. Luke made fun of me when I suggested that he might have. So I'm assuming you haven't. So we don't have theme music that we splice in. We
Okay.
just do our own theme music. We public domain when the Saints go marching in. And so Ron and I just do that with mouth horns.
Okay.
And so you're free to join
Okay.
us on the mouth horns if you'd like, but we'll start it together and then I do the opening and then bring Ron in.
right.
And so we're going to start that in 3, 2, 1.
Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. Bum,
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 8 after week 7 of City Saint and Country Saint, a Saints podcast by people getting angrier about the season. With me, as always, after this depressing and brutal loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars, as always, El Ron Mexico. Ron, how are you doing?
Just worse than last week. I'm starting to get all the losses like mixed up. It feels like we're sliding down a cliff and every loss is hitting a bigger and bigger rock. And I don't know when that's gonna stop. When we stop falling? Are we gonna hit the bottom? Or we could go 2-15 at this point. And Dennis Allen and Derek Carr would just say
You
like.
think they're going to take one away? You think they're going to take one of the wins away?
Yeah, I do. They will. They will take one away. They'll discover we did something illegal. They'll take it away. They'll say we'll be back next year and we'll try all the same stuff again and we won't change shit. We're just gonna keep to the course. Steady,
Yeah,
a steady
no.
hand.
I definitely do feel worse. The Jacksonville game following the Texans game, because of the way they both kind of went, because they were so similar, it felt like the Simpsons ambulance gag. Where he skateboards across the ravine and falls down the cliff, and they helicopter him up and then crash the ambulance and he falls down again. That is exactly what this back-to-back week feels like. On the winning side of the agenda this week is a friend of ours. I have known him on Twitter for ages. We became better friends than just sort of, I don't, you know what? We weren't even mutuals when it started. We're in a fantasy football league of Twitter
Oh,
idiots.
wow, that's right.
And that is our friend, Tiny Baby, Paul, stopped doing the, but I don't know how to follow back gag to
Still
me.
don't know how to do that. I must have happened in some kind of fugue state, or maybe my caretaker, did it for me.
If only I knew where that button was.
Yeah.
Which is unfair to me because I also don't know how that works. And so but I don't like to be on the wrong side of that gag. So Paul, how are you doing? How are things by you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I say that, but a company I work for is just acquired, and I had to interview for a new job with no notice, and now I am starting a new job in a week, and I have to relocate for it. So things are very weird with me, I guess, right now.
I thought your old job relocated you. I'm not going to name either city, but I thought your old job was forcing you to move. I didn't realize you had to look for a new job.
Well, I had to. It's complicated, but
it's an internal interview for retention.
I mean, very few people got retained. Not to brag, but. No, it's actually really
I'm going to send this. Send this to all of your coworkers. Yeah. I'm going to play it on a very expensive speaker system outside the bread line.
That's well, yeah. I mean, it's really rough right now out there. So there's all that. But at least the Jags won, I guess.
Yeah.
This
hurts because you don't even care that.
Yeah, no, I was actually telling Charles that I grew up in Pensacola, and so you know that the Saints were my team growing up, you know, and I actually am a Saints fan before I'm a Jags fan. So, however, once they won the game, that changed, and now, it's.
it's I Jags, can't believe Jags are going to win the out. Battle for Paul's soul.
Yeah. So I lived in Jacksonville for 10 years. So, you know, I definitely, you know, my second loyalty, I guess, is to the Jaguars.
So what were the years that you lived in Jacksonville?
So
teen years, younger?
No, college and then after college. So, yeah, I was trying to remember the actual dates and that's hard.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, no, I don't. From when I was 18 till when I was 28, somewhere around there. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So where did you grow up?
I grew up in Pensacola. I grew up in Pensacola, went to high school in Pensacola, and then went to college in Jacksonville and just stayed there for a while. Now I'm, I think, 75, 76. So it's a long time ago now, but...
No, like all of a sudden, I'm not the old man on the podcast.
Yeah.
No, but you, that's Pensacola's home of Roy Jones Jr.
Yeah, actually, I, friends of the family, sort of, with his dad, been to his house a few times.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
That's funny because when I referred to Jacksonville as the panhandle, you corrected me.
Yeah.
And now I get it because you're like real panhandle.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'm a real redneck, not the fake rednecks in Jacksonville.
Right.
Yeah.
The ones who have indoor plumbing and whatever.
Yeah.
Do you know the Blue Angels? That's the only other thing I know about Pensacola. Are you friends with those guys?
Yeah, because they switch the pilots out, but the Jets stay the same. I never missed the Blue Angels show for the first 22 years of my life. I didn't miss a single show. Homecoming show, I mean, to Pensacola. And then I've lived in, I live in Denver now. I lived in San Francisco for a while. And so I still get to see the Blue Angels most years.
Right. Yeah. Oh, because they do like shows at stadiums and stuff?
Yeah. They do Fleet Week in San Francisco. Which, I'm still in the San Francisco next door and everyone hates it. They hate them so much. Why are these Jets waking up my pets and my, yeah.
Yeah.
If I know next door, they're just assuming the pilots are black.
That's probably true. Yeah. They probably think the pilots are homeless, actually.
Yeah.
They're sleeping in the planes. That's how tough it is.
Yeah.
That's the coolest military thing we got is the Blue Angels. I think all the rest of it sucks. I don't like any tanks. I'm not a fan of any tanks or bombs or whatever else they do, or battleships, but the Blue Angels are neat, you know? They don't even blow anything up. You don't ever hear about them fighting anyone. They don't kill anybody. They just do a little loop-de-loop.
That's true.
Shit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Those pilots have killed, though. They rotate them out to make sure that there's always a killer in the cockpit. Yeah.
Fuck. Could you imagine if someone was in the military just for air shows?
In a perfect world, that's what they would do.
Like that's.
Well, I'm sure there's plenty of people who have been told that by recruiters that like all you'll be doing is air shows, you know, and then
Yes.
shoveling shit in in Iraq.
Right, but then they hand the guy two light sticks and tell him that he's got to get the planes off the ground.
Right.
That was Chad Hennings in between the Air Force and the NFL was doing nothing but air shows.
Really? Is that true?
No, of course. But he had to, it was really funny. He had to like lose an incredible amount of weight to actually serve in the Air Force.
I bet.
After like bulking up to play on the football team, and then he had to bulk up again when he left the Air Force, because, you know, it was like sort of like David Robinson was like 6'6" when he started at the Naval Academy, which is the tallest you can be. And then over the course of the next 4 years, he shot up to 7 feet tall. So he actually couldn't really serve in the Navy anymore because he couldn't stand up in any of their ships.
There's a, well, you could go to the Coast Guard. There's an old joke. Right. So Pensacola is a Navy town. Actually all the recruits for the Navy go through Pensacola. So I know a bunch of them, but there's an old joke about the Coast Guard. Why do you need to be 6 foot tall, at least 6 foot tall, to serve in the Coast Guard? It's so that if you fall off the ship, you can just walk back in.
That's awesome. Good. Did your family have any connection to the Navy, or just coincidental placement?
Weirdly enough, my grandfather was actually in the Air Force. He was a full bird colonel in the Air Force.
So my
father and his brothers moved around a lot. They lived in like Libya and a bunch of places, but ended up just Pensacola ended up being where he was stationed when they turned, you know, when they were in high school and turned 18. So they, you know, stayed there.
Right. Yeah, my dad actually was in the Navy. He got drafted as soon as he graduated college. And this is where we get back to how old, not only how old I am, but how old my dad was when I was born. Because I'm 52 and I have a 15-year-old. And when my dad was 52, I was 2.
Wow.
And so my dad was drafted into World War II as soon as he got out of college, and he was given his choice of branch. And so I think he chose the Navy, though it really, I don't think it would have mattered so much because he had a pharmacy degree in the Navy. Yeah. He fit in well because he could just be a shipboard pharmacist, and that's what he did. He served on an oiler, you know, gassing up ship in the Pacific Theater, but he was just a pharmacist on deck.
He might have known my grandpa.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was in the Pacific.
If he got to know your grandpa, that means your grandpa either got seasick and was getting Dramamine, or had a little problem on shore leave and was getting penicillin.
Okay. I like to think that they were buddies somehow. They met at a weird bar somewhere, and then now they're you know, their son and grandson are podcasting together. So let's just hope for that. Yeah, and all the shell shock. He gave him medicine for the shell shock stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
There you go.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is just more shocks.
Yeah.
No, my dad's experience, actually, one of his best friends in the Navy, actually, is it was funny. He was in the Navy, and one of his best friends was this guy Pendleton from like the Sticks in Kentucky, and you know, they just hung out all the time. And my dad was a Jew from the Bronx, and he wasn't at the mess one day for lunch. And, you know, Pendleton asked everyone else, and they're like, where's Bernie? And one of the other people was like, oh, he's not here, it's Yom Kippur. And he's like, what? And they're like, yeah, he's Jewish, whatever. And no shit, the guy completely, unironically asked about horns.
What?
And my dad's like, no horns. You could feel. Like, you could, no, he's like, just, you can feel. You know, and the guy like patted
like
his head down, and this was like one of his best friends in the Navy, you know.
Jeez.
But he was like, he was the first, my dad was the first Jew he'd ever met in person.
Yeah.
You know, and he was like, oh, well, I'll be damned. Yeah. More or less.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
But it wasn't even hot. Like, the question wasn't even hostile. It was
right.
Like, really? And so my dad was just like, no bullshit, man. Just it's pat around.
Normal head shit. I hit him. Yeah.
Yeah. They make us sand him down before we board the ship.
Man, can you imagine where that guy would have been if the internet existed back then?
Yeah, he would have been a January 6th.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe the president. Like, he could be that.
That was one of those things where, like, you know, it's like my dad is too old for me to go chase down Pendleton from the sticks of Kentucky, you know. Yeah. But, like, that was a thing that I thought about.
It's his grandfather.
Like, would have been, yeah. it would have been cool to do. But yeah, his ship was like, that was another thing I thought about, like going to see his ship wherever it was decommissioned to, but it was decommissioned to silverware.
Right. Yeah.
They just recycled all the metal on that ship.
Yeah. The Oilers don't exactly make good museum ships, I think.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. I admit I wasn't thinking it through.
Yeah. It's wild to think about, though, like that, you know, that used to be how it worked. Like, you had these proto-racist ideas in your head, and you just meet a Jewish guy and you're like, oh, they don't have horns. They're just like people. And that was the end of it. Instead of going on the internet and people going, no, actually, they do have horns. And you just get worse and worse. And
yeah. Right. They have have a way of hiding them in public. Yeah. Yeah. They're retractable. They're like Wolverine's claws. Right. All right. So are you a... you said you were a Saints guy. Are you?
Oh, I thought, like, I swear to God, I thought you were going to ask if I was like a racist. Sorry.
No. I know you're a racist. You said you were a Saints fan first, and I know, you know, we became buddies playing fantasy football. Are you still paying? It sounds like you're not super paying attention to the NFL anymore.
No, not really. Like, you know, it was 5 or 6 years ago now, or 7, I guess, that I moved to San Francisco, and it's just people don't care as much about it there. And I already didn't care about it that much to begin with. It was just like I'd watch football when hanging out with my friends. And then people there are just so apathetic about it in general that it's like, you know, it's easier just to not care anymore.
Yeah. Right.
And so...
I mean, that's funny because I think about the 49ers parking lot as the most dangerous place in San Francisco.
There's a parking lot?
Well,
there's no parking lot. There's no parking in that city.
No, right.
But no, I know.
I assume the stadium's not in the city.
Yeah, actually. It is. Yeah. There's a lot of 49ers stuff, but it's not like a general thing where, you know, people just, you know, Friday or Saturday, Sunday, whatever, go and do, right? Like,
right.
If I wanted to do that, I would either have to seek out, you know, a NFL bar or organize it myself or whatever. And it's just, I didn't care enough to begin with to get that into it.
Right. And what's Denver like with, well, I guess it's Boulder, not Denver, with Prime.
Oh, yeah, Prime, yeah. No, I don't, I mean, like, there's not much. I actually drove by there when there was a game the other night when I was up in Boulder. But, yeah, I mean, you hear about it, but obviously it's like 45 minutes away, so there's not.
So let's get to the game.
And even that, sorry, I'm just going to interrupt a little bit more. Like, no, even that's another thing. Like, college football, NCAA, you know, being in the Southeast, like, everybody cares, right, about that. A lot of the times more than the NFL. And that, looked at me like I was some kind of, like, freak for bringing up my favorite college team in California. Like, what are you talking about? Aren't you, like, 30? Like, you know, like... Why are you talking about the Gators, you know, or whatever? That's another thing.
That is, like, crazy. So you're a Gators guy. You're not Knowles.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. My dad went to UF, so always been a Gators guy. And then even here in Denver, like, the, you know, college is not really a thing as much as the Southeast. So
yeah, I mean, like, we have coming up, I'm going to preview one of the other episodes, we have Jason Kirk from Shutdown Fullcast, who's going to do the first Falcons episode, because I know he's a Georgia guy, but I didn't know if he cared about the NFL at all, you know, because I'm pretty sure Spencer doesn't. I'm pretty sure Holly doesn't. Right. So I really didn't know if, like, you know, someone was like, oh, he, because we couldn't find a Falcons fan, and we're like, oh, he's a Falcons fan. And I was like, oh, okay. I wouldn't have necessarily assumed, because I know, like, I don't think Amanda Mall has ever mentioned the Falcons. And
that's a red flag to me. Like, people who
Yeah.
Only are like love college football, but like do not watch the NFL.
That's... I think she does though. Yeah. I think she does, but I think her passion, like, I think she's the second generation of, okay. like, Georgia.
Oh, she went there. Okay. Because there's a type of guy down here that is, like, never been to college, obsessed with LSU or Alabama or, you know, Ole Miss, and they hate the NFL, and I don't want to, you know, they like when the players play for free. Let's just say it that way, right? Like, there's, like, a really old style.
For the
like,
love of the game.
The guys who resent the fact that the football team is attached to a college teaching Marxism in the first place.
I don't hate the NFL. I like it, but I definitely, you know, even when I was watching football, I definitely cared more about college.
I think it's very easy to get really passionate and parochial, not even in a, like, I don't even mean that in a bad way. Like, it's a community. It really is.
Right.
You know, college football fandom. I mean, look, I'm a lunatic for Cornell sports, and they suck at almost everything. You know, like, I'm like left rooting for, I actually get my heart broken in fucking lacrosse, and I can't even imagine talking to a lacrosse player.
I think for me, part of it is that they're amateurs, but it's not that they're not getting paid. It's that, like, the fact that they make more mistakes makes for more interesting games. Because, you know, I mean, at a certain point in the NFL, I mean, like, you know, there are, we're going to talk about the game in a minute. There are a lot of mistakes in the NFL, but there's some things that only would happen in college football, you know? Like, that's just more fun to me. Like, you don't know whether it's going to be this game that people are talking about 20 years from now that you're watching.
And that's if they're sort of evenly matched. But it's like sometimes you see one, it's like 72-4 or whatever, you know, like 5 points. Not even, and it's like, what is this? Why do these two teams play? This is like a shark swam up a river and is fighting a perch or something. Like, why would this happen? Like, stop this.
The shark gave the perch $200,000 to become lunch.
That's my favorite part, is that college teams have to pay the worst team to play them. That's really good.
There is nothing better than when one of those teams wins a road game.
Oh, for sure.
It is the best. It is drugs. When Appalachian State beat Michigan, that shit is drugs. Oh, my God. I love it so much.
Next year, my little college got to go play LSU. And, like, I'm not a fan.
Oh, where'd you go?
Maybe... I don't want to say on the podcast. I don't know. People might better know exactly where I'm from. Well, no, fuck it. They don't know where I live now. I went to Nicholls State.
Okay.
If they beat LSU, I am going to probably remember that forever, you know, but.
All right, folks, the Saints had another home game, which means another man in the dome. This week, we've got an old friend of mine. We used to do stand-up together in New York. He is back in New Orleans, where he's from. Everyone welcome my buddy, Neil Stastny. Neil, how are you?
Good, good. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad you were able to do it. It's. I'm sorry that we started this during such a depressing season.
No, it's fine. This is... I'm thrilled that you started the podcast during the season. It's definitely making me more interested in watching the game so I can hear y'all go over it. Yeah.
I appreciate that. Like I said, we knew each other when I, as a Saints fan, got semi-absorbed into the New Orleans comedy diaspora of the mid-2000s.
Did you know Cassidy... You must have known Cassidy first, right?
I did.
Right?
Okay. Cass is the one who invited me to Bar None.
Nice.
Bar None was the first, was it First or Second Avenue? First Avenue, I think.
It was Third.
Third. It was Third Avenue.
Yeah.
All right. It's a long time. it was a Vikings bar that Cass and his friends convinced to let the back room be a Saints bar.
During the rest of the week, it was like an NYU kid bar. Always smelled like beer pong had been played there, and they didn't clean up. We got the back room with no windows, and the Vikings got the much larger room with the windows.
That's right. That's right. Which only made it more satisfying when we beat them in the NFC Championship game.
Were you there for that game? Did you go to Bar None for that?
No, if I could watch it on TV, I usually watched it at home.
Same. I never wanted to go to MetLife whenever the Saints were playing the Giants or Jets, because I was like, I can actually watch this on my couch and not sit on a train and go somewhere.
Oh, no, I like going to see them in person. But if the choice is watching them at bar none or not leaving an hour before the game to take a train into the city and watching it at home, then I definitely do that. And by then, the Saints were so good that Cass and the old school people who got them to, you know, turn the back room into a Saints bar had already started complaining that it was all Tulane grads.
Yeah, it got a little corporate. The vibe got too corporate as they got better. And there was some Tulane alum who set up a DJ booth, I think. And the vibe changed from kind of like some fun weirdos who were hanging out watching this garbage team to like, this is the spot to be. It got featured on Treme or something, right? I feel like it was...
Oh, I don't know. That would be crazy. I didn't know that.
I think it was Treme. There was a scene where it was like, this is where the expats go to watch the Saints.
Oh, that's
and that's
funny.
All because of Cassidy. Yeah. Shout out to Cass and Edgar for starting that.
Yeah, holy cow. That is nuts. No, it was very funny. Though, on the upside, people did start bringing, like, this one woman would bring in a crock pot of gumbo, and other people started bringing Popeyes and stuff to the bar. Yeah. There was, like, a critical mass where it was perfect, and then it became too popular for the crusty old assholes like us.
Yeah, I left at some point in the 2009 season. It got too crowded and annoying.
You know, that's the classic Yogi Berra line, is that I think he was talking about the Hamptons. He said, nobody goes there anymore. It's too popular. And you know what? I know exactly what he meant. He takes a lot of shit for it, but I know what he meant was nobody who matters goes there anymore.
Exactly. The cool kids had left. We left Bar None sometime around week 8 that season.
The cool kids like me, you, and Yogi Berra. So let's talk about the dome. I have been once. I have only been once, and that was a pretty cool vibe. It was like Christmas of 2008, and we played the Cardinals in the second to last game of the season and won to keep our playoff hopes alive. And it was a lot colder than I thought New Orleans would be. I was under the impression that it was always hot, and I actually had to buy a hat. And I was shocked that they even made winter caps and Saints colors.
Yeah, you can really get screwed over trying to come down here in like December, January, as we were talking about earlier. Yeah. It could be below freezing, or it could be like 75.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't been to that many Saints games, even though I grew up here. So I think the last Saints game I went to one last year. It was a nice sneak peek of the Derek Carr experience. We played the Raiders and destroyed them, and Derek Carr was terrible. And I went to this game because, they're not doing well. So a flood of ticket offers just showed up for people who didn't want to spend their weekday night at the Superdome.
Right.
So I got my brother-in-law's dad has 4 season tickets. I got offered 2. He waited to see if he could sell the other 2. He could not. so those other two came to me. So I went with 3 friends.
Yeah, I had a very similar experience this year. I had bought a bunch of tickets for games that I thought that I was going to go to with my family. And then this was Yankees and Mets both. And my family bailed in all of those cases. And giving away tickets online was like I was, you know, I had a booth which said free punch in the face. And as soon as people found out that they would be receiving, not giving, they walked away from my booth.
Nice. So the Saints are experiencing somewhat of a Mets type style season right now. Maybe not as bad of a spending spree and a collapse, but
right. so let's talk about the game. Who did you end up going with?
I went with my buddy Will from high school, and that I know from high school, and then my friends Annie and Jen. I missed the first half of the first quarter because I'm not usually, every time I've gone to the Superdome, I've gone with someone else who it's their tickets and they know where to walk. Uh-huh. So I, yeah, Had I taken a right, I would have gone right to the right gate, but instead took the long way around the dome and then the wrong elevator. But I think I got there right in time for Groupie's miss.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. So walked into a cascade of booze.
I'd like to thank you for clarifying that your friend from high school went to high school with you and is not a junior you're going to be arrested for taking to the game.
Thought I had to clarify. Yeah, yeah, thanks for for calling that out.
Okay, so Groupie misses, which means you probably came in, you missed the anxious kickoff, and probably got there just in time for, like, the pall and anger to descend over the dome.
Oh, they were booing, I mean, as soon as we sat down.
Yeah.
So, I missed. I had no idea what happened before that miss. But okay. People were... So I didn't know if I had no idea what had built up prior to that, or if it was just booing at Groupie yet again.
Right.
But I haven't been to the dome that many times, but definitely have not. I've been there when they've lost... almost every time, and never heard that many boos.
Yeah,
that I can remember. I mean, people were definitely really fed up.
Yeah, I can imagine. And so, how did the tone stay? Was it generally negative, or is it a crowd that like right on the verge of cheering?
It was negative throughout until they started coming back. I mean, they had the people behind me who were furious the whole game. They left. When Carr threw an interception in the third quarter, I think that's when they bailed.
Yeah, the pick six, you mean?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, the pick six.
Yeah.
So, yeah, people had bailed then, and it was like, well, these are free tickets, and I took off work the next day, so I don't care. So I'm just hanging out. And that's, you know, people did start getting back into it once, you know, as they started making that comeback, and you kind of realized that it could happen. Yeah. You know, I think, at least for me, there was that moment of realizing, like, they're kind of coming back, and you're like, okay, fine, one good drive and prevent defense, who cares? And then you notice that there is actually a significant amount of time left, but you're still like, but they're not going to do this twice or three times.
Right.
So I don't think Saints fans are like, I don't know, you know, Philly fans where they're super pumped to boo all the time. So they're ready to get back into it once they start doing something, you know?
Right.
So the crowd got really into it all over again. But
yeah, those last two drives were very loosey pulling the football. You know, to get down into the red zone and then duff it and then get down into the red zone and go into, you know, nothing but fades.
Well, and the whole game before was just, a bunch of missed opportunities and easy setups. I mean, how many, like, you know, I've been drinking before the game and during the game, so I'm usually not as drunk while I'm watching this. So my memory's a little hazy. But, I mean, they had they recovered a muffed punt, right? Right by the end zone.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there was just so many opportunities to, like, do something where you're just thinking, like, you know, they're not going to pull this off, actually, if they get close, you know? Like,
yeah, I think that's right. And so what was it, like, were people morose or pissed off when they were leaving?
They were pissed off. There was lots of people. I mean, for the first, I heard a lot of talk about excitement for the Pelicans, which is a bad sign for the Saints. If people are like, well, maybe Zion's actually going to play some games, you know, that'll be cool. I heard a lot of people talking, but they excited about the Pelicans, which is not good.
But that is a bad sign for your football crowd.
Famously a basketball town, New Orleans.
Not since Pistol Pete. So what are your thoughts, hopes for the rest of the season?
Ideally for me, and I think maybe it's the most realistic as well. I mean, look, ideally they figure out, you know, how to actually run plays that they want to run and be on the same page. And Derek Carr is not going to scream at Chris Olave for failing to run a route that he didn't really need to run or whatever. Maybe they fix all that and they actually become the offense that we wanted them to be. I doubt that's going to happen. So I think the ideal is probably the NFC South continues to suck and we manage to get in playoff contention and I manage to get a few more free tickets from my brother-in-law's dad. If we can sneak into the playoffs and the game that you come in for at the end of the year against the Falcons is this absolute loser of a game that ends up meaning something to get into the playoffs and I can get free tickets to the Bears game coming up. That's the ideal for the rest of the season.
That sounds good. That is living the dream. That is a subtle introduction of the truth that in week 17, because we decided this after taping the Jacksonville episode, I have bought my plane ticket to be the man in the dome for Game 17 against Atlanta in what they are calling the battle for the worst division of all time.
I think that's the ideal experience, you know? That's, what more could you want? Just
the... Yeah, a game against the Falcons in New Orleans with, like, playoff implications on the line is what I've always wanted. But it's also why we were talking about the weather in New Orleans in January, because I am doing it to myself again.
You'll get better luck this time, I'm sure, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. I mean, it's not like the environment has gotten demonstrably worse. So it could be either 92 degrees or it could be the McMurdo.
Well, and good news for you too, I don't think the salt water that's intruding in, up the Mississippi River is going to impact New Orleans, so you'll be able to get to tap water.
I don't know how this happened, but the end of the Man in the Dome, my microphone stopped working, so it's not there, and I didn't get to say thank you and goodbye to Neil. Thank you and goodbye to Neil. That was the Man in the Dome.
Let's talk about this game. Let's start with Ron. I need your perspective on this. How are you?
Terrible. I got rolling down a mountain.
Like, what are your takeaways?
Well, like, one of my takeaways was, like, when we went down, like, 07, it felt like we was down, like, 0-28 with this offense. It was like, oh, we just, this is, like, a huge hole. Like, I don't see how we, and then, like, I don't know, I got mad at the NFL because I couldn't really, I didn't want to, I was like, all right, this is because it's Thursday night. This should be legal. This is a labor thing. Like, these teams shouldn't even be playing. This is not a real game. None of this shit counts. So, like, I guess I went through all the stages of, like, grief or whatever. I ended up hating the kicker, and, yeah. And then, I don't know, like, we saw David Carr. I mean, like, and then it was bad on TV, but the post-game has got worse. Like, you know, like, when people really dissect the tape and they see, like, he can't do anything. So, like, why, like, what, I don't know what the difference is between, like, him and Andy Dalton was, or, like, Jameis even. Like, this is just... I don't know what the point, like, I think the mainstream media, like, has, like, figured out a way to make us think Derek Carr was special some kind of way. And, like, if with honest eyes, he's not. Like, he's a little worse than average, it seems like.
My reaction, the thing that broke me a little, was, yeah. I was, you know, I try to avoid, like, a lot of coverage until we talk, because I don't want to, like, repeat other people's stuff. But it was, I think it was Nick Underhill said something about how Pete Carmichael doesn't like calling passes over the middle and David Carr doesn't like throwing them. And I was like, well, fuck, I'm going to shoot myself now. Because, like, that is, like, that was the football that I watched my entire life, was Michael Thomas running slants and drags and the tight end getting hit on seam patterns. And that's where all the goddamn yards are. And, you know, we were freaking out in the Saints chat, me especially. I was, like, typing in all caps like a total moron about, like, two of the last four plays being fades, which Carr is bad at throwing, and we don't have tall enough receivers to be catching them. And, you know, they're like, oh, well, we thought it was good because we hit it with Thomas early in the game. And I'm like, yeah, that's your fucking lottery ticket for the year.
Yeah.
Don't keep doing that, especially because it wasn't even a great throw, and Michael Thomas was like a micron away from out of bounds.
Yeah.
Like, that was the luckiest fucking touchdown in the universe, and you're using that to, like, determine your end-of-game strategy? Fuck you, man. I was so pissed.
It was
off.
Only a touchdown because one of his booty cheeks hit the ground before the rest of his body rolled out. That was total luck.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
A guy who looked like he was going to have a Hall of Fame career makes a miracle catch, and you're like, yeah, we'll do that forever. That's the play. Yeah. That's our golden play that no one can defend except for everyone except that one time. So whatever. So Paul, what was it like for, where were you watching? Were you watching with friends or just at home?
Well, so it just so happens that a friend of mine from the UK was in town this week, so I watched it at a series of different bars and breweries.
Yeah.
And
that's the best way.
Yeah, yeah. I did look at a game recap just to make sure I remembered how it ended, but I obviously I wanted the Saints. Like, I was actually rooting for the Saints to win in the bars, and my friend who lives here also went to college with me in Jacksonville, and he was mad at me for rooting for the Saints. But no, I mean, it was fun, right? Because the stakes were pretty low. I knew I was going to get to gloat on this podcast either way. So, you know, But I mean, it was a lot of fun. There was some anxiety because, what's his name? Trevor Lawrence was, he's coming off like 500 injuries or whatever. And,
I was hoping we were going to get, CJ Beathard, but he, instead Trevor Lawrence actually played.
Yeah. And not only that, but he kept scrambling. Yeah. And I was like, dude, are you tired of your job? Like, what are you doing?
and he had a knee brace.
But yeah. I mean, he somehow managed not to lose one of his legs during the game. It was a lot of fun.
He led your team in rushing.
Right. Yeah, I know.
He had 59 yards. He almost led the game.
He was like Forrest Gump running with the little thing coming off his legs.
Exactly. That's what it
No,
like.
He was by far the best rusher in the game.
Yeah.
59 yards, 7.5 yards a carry. Kamara, who had more yards than him, did it in twice the carries.
Right.
Barely had.
Yeah. But somehow he stuck it out. And it was a fun game to watch, especially because, you know, my friend from the UK, you know, the Jags, they get exiled to London once a year.
Right. I was going to ask if he was like an American who moved to the UK, or if he was like actual UK who has become a Jags fan by default.
Yeah, no, he grew up there, started watching American football through, you know, being friends with some of us. And he actually is a Broncos fan, though. But he, you know, I think his second team is the Jags. And he said, you know, when they play there, people go to the game wearing whatever team they support. So, like, if you look at the stands in the London Jags game, you'll see jerseys for teams that are not there at all. It was nice because, like, that's the team.
Like Liverpool.
The team that he's seen live is the Jags. Ooh.
So what we usually do, and this is weird this week, actually this feature has always been a little weird given who we have on, but we have a feature called Get Our Ass, where when the Saints lose, we invite our guest to just get our ass about the loss. And you're free to do so in your conflicted way.
Yeah.
If you want to spend 30 seconds or 2 minutes or whatever.
Well, no.
Just getting our ass.
I mean, like, I can still complain about the team that I like doing poorly, you know, anyway.
Go for segment. It.
So, like, the one thing that I remember, like, jumping off my seat at the fucking bar about was that catch that went off, what's his name's hands? At the end, man, I don't know any of the players' names anymore. It's been so long.
Oh, Moreau. Yeah, it dropped at the
Foster Moreau.
Yeah, Foster Moreau. Yeah. Exactly. And it was like right in his hands, and like the announcers were pretty calm about it. I was confused a little because I was a little drunk, and I was like, isn't that a bit like the announcer's like, oh, it looks like not gonna. I'm like, well, what the fuck are you talking about? That was it. Yeah. That was the game. But yeah, it was a. Confusing time rooting for both teams. Yeah. One more thing about my night. That really made me feel like I was back in Jacksonville was later after we went to a tiki bar and I was really hammered. Somebody, I don't remember what I said to this person, but they threw a twisted T at my head. And that has not happened to me since I was in Jacksonville. So.
You're home.
Really felt like it was
Twisted
Tea.
Sponsors of City Saint Country Saint.
Yes, the official drink.
The official drink of City Saint Country Saint is Twisted Tea.
Yeah.
Have a Twisted Tea. they feel good to throw in your hand.
Right, for self-defense.
No, I was getting mad at like that throw. Like obviously Foster Moreau should catch the ball, right? Like it was good enough that a dude who is in the NFL should put his hands on that ball and tuck it away.
Right.
On the other hand, Foster Moreau had a literal county to himself in the end zone. He was so fucking wide open. Yeah. And David Carr is throwing to his blocking tight end. And he doesn't hit him in the fucking numbers.
Yeah,
he had so much time. It was the like one of a handful of plays where he has a real pocket and he, like he steps up and he's got time and he makes him reach for the ball. And the pick six was a ball that bounced off of Shahid's hands where the coverage is on Shahid's right.
Yeah.
And instead of leading him to the left, he throws back behind him so the defender pops it up in the air and Olakin's in the end zone, right?
Yep.
That is on him.
Yeah.
There was at least two more throws where if they if he leads the receiver, and I mean, I'm so fucking pampered. I'm so pampered from watching Drew Brees do this for a decade.
Right.
Throw people open, anticipate where they should be, and make the receiver go to the ball in a way that it won't be a pick. And Derek Carr keeps throwing the ball just behind everybody.
Yeah.
And it just leads to incompletions and balls that get tipped up in the air. And man, you threw for 3,500 fucking yards in the past. Was it all fly patterns, you dick? Like, did you not learn to throw like a single touch pass?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair to Foster Moreau, like, you know, there were a lot of missed opportunities in the game. I don't want to, I'm sure that all the Saints guys listen to this podcast. So I want to make sure, you know, I don't want to single him out.
I'm like, we're not going to do that. I singled out Zach Bond last week and I went off on him for a while. And I hope he checked his, he checked his mail, but I don't want to go after Foster Moreau. I want to keep going after David Carr because I'm really, really mad at how disappointing he is. And this is a game where he threw for 300 yards and it just felt empty because anytime we were near the end zone, he just gagged.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I was shocked at how many shots there were at the end zone that just puttered out.
Yep. He finally got, I will say this, he finally got Kamara going in the passing game. You know, all still short stuff, but at least this time he seemed to have space in front of him when he was catching it. Michael Thomas did some good work. They were using Taysom a lot more, I thought, in interesting ways, which I liked. So, like, there were signs, you know, even without Ramchick or Hurst, the line seemed to hold up a little. Yeah. You know, he only got sacked once. It seemed like he had a pocket some of the time. So I'm like, I'm trying to find the good, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're still projecting, you know, like the model. It used to be Football Outsiders, but wherever Aaron Schatz is writing for now, like, the, you know, Football Outsiders got bought by some VC dickheads. And so they've, like, they got rid of everyone who was worth reading. And so wherever Aaron Schatz ended up, he still got the Saints projected as like a favorite to make the postseason. Because they're only a game out of first in that dog shit division. So, you know, and they don't, no one has any respect for Atlanta or Tampa. And so they, like, the Saints defensive unit is like one of the few things that looks like actual quality. And so they're still, like, the Atlanta's, like, 76% to make the playoffs, and the Saints are, like, 58% or something like that. Yeah. So that's not terrible. So I'm trying to cling on to something here.
You're not buying your paper bag yet?
No.
Yeah, I had to tell my friend from the UK about that whole, because, you know, of course he missed that whole era of...
Right.
Of the Aints and the bags and everything. I had to explain that all to him. He thought I was fucking with him at first. About people wearing the bags in the stadium.
Yeah. He's like, all right, you know the unknown comic? What if that was everyone? This team. It's funny because you don't give a shit about the Jags, so you don't actually want to talk about them. But that's good because I don't want to talk about them either. Yeah.
I was just thinking, like, I actually considered doing a bit where I looked up, like, I had in front of me like a background sheet on every player and being like, yeah, I don't really know much about it, but he went to high school and, you know, that kind of thing. Too much effort.
Just the whole Wikipedia bit.
Yeah.
Go.
Well, no, it'd be funny if, like, this was a miscommunication and, like, we thought Paul was a fan of jaguars, like, as the animal. I had all these Jaguar facts. Like, I work at a zoo. Like, what do you mean, Charles? Like, I thought, yeah. And this is a football fight.
Got one on video here with me.
Like, yeah, we got.
Right, yeah. It's like visiting Johnny Carson from the Columbus Zoo. Is like, I have all my references are for the kids.
In my head, still, the Jaguars are still like a new team because I just remember when they was born or whatever.
That's how old
I am.
Yeah, that is exactly how I think of them. And like the Jaguars and Panthers started together, and they still feel half fake to me.
Like when I
remember that Mark Brunell got the Jaguars to like a NFC championship.
That doesn't even seem real.
That seems like some fake bullshit they put in a Snapple cap.
The only real teams to me are the ones on Tecmo Bowl, like for Nintendo. Like that was like the last video game I ever had. Like anybody not on Tecmo Bowl, it's like not the real books of the Bible or whatever. You know, like this is like some, you know, some weird cult shit.
That's right.
Yeah, this is just some.
my point of reference is if you weren't on the NFL Comforter, which came out after the AFC NFC, if the AFL NFL merger, where like every parent in America got their kid that pattern comforter, you know, you don't count. Yeah. And so, you know, let's go Oilers.
Yes.
You see, that's it. We've come full circle. Yeah. We're talking about Oilers again.
Back. Oh, man. But yeah, that was a rough game.
Oh, no, that's not even what I meant. I meant my dad's ship.
Yeah, the ship. Yeah.
I got it now.
Yeah, nice.
Good callback. Yes.
That's why you're the pro.
I thought it was from another episode.
Yeah. Does anyone have any closing thoughts on?
I had a question for you since you're a lawyer. Yeah. Lawyer wise. Yeah.
Oh, is this about Chris
Well,
Olave?
No, we could go there. We probably should eventually. All this feels.
Yeah, we probably should. But let's start with your question.
This football is terrible. It all feels like a crime. Like, right? Is there like a law precedent? Like, by watching this shit, we are complicit in some way? Like, is there some kind of like. Are we part of this abomination? Can we go to jail for this?
Maybe
owed compensation. Yes.
Can we go to jail or can we get some money?
That's
a good question. Let's start with number one. Can we go to jail? No, but if we continue to watch this team, the chances of involuntary commitment. We will get 51-50'd. For watching this team. Can we get money out of them? The answer is no. No one can get money out of it.
You know what? You know what's funny, though? She's paying for this, right?
Benson family. Yeah.
No, I thought about this shit today because I was like, somebody should pay.
She is. She bought my microphone.
Yeah. All right, so like she started off, she was just like fucking some corpse for its money, right? Like, and I get it. That's great for her, right? Tom died. She got the team, right? And she never thought in a million years, like, now, like, but she got everybody who sees her in the, like, when Drew Brees is winning, everybody's, thank you, Miss Gale. Way to go, Miss Benson. Way to go. You're doing great. We love you. You're the queen of the city. When they playing like this, you know what I mean? She's, like, got to, like, explain to the mailman why some, like, Jack Meathead with eyeliner, you know, the brain function of a turnip, you know, can't go through his progressions. You know, like, she got to, like, explain to, like, the guy, the waiter now, why, like, the team sucks, like, in all these weird ways. And she don't know shit about this shit, probably. Yeah. I mean, not, you know, maybe she does, but, like.
Can you imagine how her phone started ringing off the hook when Will Lutz hit a game-winning 50-yarder for Denver? And Blake Groupie missed again. Our kid, we've been having some kicking troubles after we kept a rookie over a guy who had been in New Orleans for, like, 7-8 years.
And he was pretty good.
Forever.
Yeah. I hope she got to explain to her gardener, her chef, all of this shit.
Yeah. No, I think none of those people are allowed to look her.
I was going to say, I think you're overestimating how much people like that talk to the help.
Yeah.
I think we've got full-on Jennifer Lopez rules with the craft services team.
Yeah. Do not look her in the eye.
Yeah, I think I said everything I I want to say about this game. I feel like it always feels so close, but the losses that we've had just feel so disappointing, and I really thought that having a soft schedule would help, and instead it's one of those things
makes it worse.
Where yeah, it definitely makes it worse. It's one of those things where, you know, it, like in poker, they're like, if you can't figure out in the first 15 minutes who the fish at the table is.
Yeah.
That's how it feels like going 3-4 against this schedule. I'm like, wow, this is a really soft schedule. And then you look at where you are and you're like, oh, I'm learning a lot today.
So
we got to turn this around real quick before they actually do take away one of our wins. That is how I feel. So before we go, Paul, where can we find you? Are you producing any creative stuff, or is it mostly your Blue Sky?
Yeah, it's just Blue Sky. I don't do anything. I'm in software. I don't do anything creative. I was going to start getting into Twitch streaming, but then, you know, things fell apart. So I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'll do that in the future. But yeah, just go look at my post. I think that's what you can do.
I will do that.
All right. So that's time. So that he it's what is it Tiny Baby Blue Sky
Tiny
Social
dot
or
baby.
Did you get Tiny.baby on Blue Sky?
I've had that domain for a while. Actually, Johnson & Johnson beat me to registering it, but then they let it lapse and I stole it. So
nice.
Now it's
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, I think they let it lapse before they got sued for $1 trillion over talc.
Right.
And tried to put all of their baby powder into another subsidiary. They're like, we can't even afford GoDaddy fees now.
Yeah, this is all a big, like, long-term plan to take for me to take the fall for that.
Well, that's why you, honestly, they did you a favor. If you keep moving, they'll never forget.
Yeah, I'll just keep moving once a year. That'll be it. Yeah.
I just want to say this. Can I say this? This is a funny story. When I first was on Twitter, I really didn't understand it for a really long time, like an embarrassing long time. And I would see Tiny Baby's post and I thought that was DMX. Like I said, damn, DMX is fucking funny. Like this is, I didn't know the act meant anything. I thought the picture was more of like that's who you really are. And it had so many likes and stuff. I was like, man, DMX is really cool. And like, and then
now, were you thinking this before or after he died?
Yeah, no, it was funny because when he died, this is how much I should get in my head. Because like when DMX died, I was like, oh no, he was just a little guy. He was just a little tiny baby. Like I was like, no, wait, why am I thinking he was how? And then I was like, no, he was a grown man. He was actually a big giant dog. Like he lived a lot of time in dog years. Like
All right. I'm gonna sign off with that. I'm gonna say thank you for joining us, Paul. Thank you as always, Ron. And as we go out, with the horns.
Oh good. Yeah.
Have a good week, everybody.
Yeah, it was fun.